Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Well, my good friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee wishing you the best. Happy trails until we talk again later. We put the wraps on our morning session and bring on the news at 9, sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 28 degrees at WRCO-FM Richland Center. The time is 9 o'clock.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley.
This weekend is the third anniversary of the riot at the U.S. Capitol. Both President Biden and Donald Trump are preparing. The AP's Sagar Magani has this.
To the president, the riot represented Trump and his backers holding a dagger at the throat of American democracy, a bid to subvert the 2020 election results.
An extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
While he calls Trump a threat to democracy.
No, I'm not a threat. I will save democracy. The threat is crooked Joe Biden.
The ex-president says the federal charges he faces related to the riot and bids in two states to keep him off the ballot show Democrats are the ones undercutting democratic values. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The Justice Department is suing Texas over a new law that would let police arrest migrants who enter the U.S. illegally. The AP's Lisa Dwyer with the latest.
The lawsuit asks a court in Austin to declare the Texas law unconstitutional, alleging that it would frustrate immigration operations and interfere with the federal government's right to regulate foreign commerce. The new law is set to take effect in March. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The East Coast is going to get whacked by snow and freezing rain this weekend, say forecasters, but they don't yet know exactly which areas are going to get snow and which will get rain and how much. The job market continues to be strong. Fewer Americans applied for unemployment last week, according to the Labor Department. Overall, 1.8 million Americans are on unemployment. A 19-year-old and his father are under arrest in Texas in the killings of a pregnant woman and her boyfriend. San Antonio police say the couple was shot over what appears to have been a drug deal. Overseas now, militia officials say a U.S. airstrike on the headquarters of militia in Baghdad killed a high-ranking militia commander. This is AP News. And now to the Queen, who's stepping down. The AP's Karen Shamas.
Denmark's Queen and Europe's longest-reigning monarch has made one last public appearance before stepping down in a rare abdication. Queen Margrethe rode through Denmark's capital in a gilded carriage as she concluded her last New Year's celebrations before her abdication later this month. Thousands braved the freezing temperatures to cheer the popular Queen along the route in what is to be her last public appearance as monarch. Although Margrethe had insisted for years that she wouldn't quit, she announced her abdication on December the 31st, saying recent back surgery led to thoughts about the future. She will step down on January the 14th after 52 years on the throne, handing the crown to her eldest son. I'm Karen Chamas.
After Pope Francis allowed blessings for same-sex couples, some bishops say they won't implement that new policy. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, the area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Losing a loved one is never easy, and it never will be. I'm Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Pre-planning won't take the grief away, but with a plan in place, families can spend their time and energy supporting each other and healing, instead of worrying about what to do next. We're ready to support you when you're ready to make a plan or simply ask a question at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
Today's forecast calls for a high in the low 30s with peaks of sunshine. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, a low of 20 and 35 Friday. Saturday, 35, perhaps some light snow coming up on Saturday. After an earlier reading of 31, it is 28 degrees.
Save extra now during the half price sale of Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center and Viroqua. Buy any item at the regular or sale price and get a second item of equal value or less for half price.
Yes, you heard it. Half price.
Special orders and layaways not included. The half price sale in Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, Richland Center and Viroqua. But hurry, this fantastic sale ends this Sunday.
Choose Mr. G's.
Community First Bank is your bank for business. Their business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. Visit Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
You may take it for granted, but when it goes, you can certainly feel the impact. Keep your water running hot with Reliance. At All American Do It Center, Reliance water heaters come in sizes from 30 to 50 gallons. And we have models for electric, natural gas, or LP. Plus, limited warranties are available on parts and labor. Visit the Reliance water heater display at All American Do It Center, because when it goes, you won't have time to wait. Shop close to home with folks you know at All American Do It Centers in Toma, Sparta, and Richland Center.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, we're going to talk today about Habitat for Humanity. John Parisi is here, and he's here to talk about all of the good things that that organization does in the Wisconsin River area. First-time guest of the morning show. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Phil. That's Parisi.
Oh, I was close. You know what? Henry Bray gave me the... So blame him.
Henry, I will blame
him. Good to have you here, John. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am from upstate New York. I went to school for theater. I've been working in not-for-profits my entire life since I left college. I moved to the area about 13 years ago and have fell in love with it ever since. I am married. We own a home in Baraboo and have been working for Habitat for just over 10 years now.
And you've worked at different levels of Habitat for Humanity.
Yes. I started as a pickup driver. If you can believe it, I got the job on Craigslist, which is...
Is that right?
Yeah. Slightly antiquated at this point. I was 10 to 15 hours a week. And then they were like, oh, you're doing a good job, maybe 20 hours a week. I was like, okay. And then I started doing full-time, and then I became the assistant manager at our Restores, which is a resale shop that we take used goods and sell them and then use the profits, and all those profits go towards building homes and our repair program. After that, I became the manager of the store. When we opened a second Restore in Portage, our company grew quite a bit. And I worked at that store for 9 years, and then I became the Restore director about 18 months ago, and then got another promotion 3 months ago and became the director of development for Habitat for Humanity.
Wonderful. So what does that title encompass? What's your job description now?
A lot. Mostly resource procurement, you might say, which is a lot of things. A lot of people think it's just fundraising. And money is important, but the most important thing actually is people. And trying to get people to help us, get people interested, get people to volunteer, see if we can't involve more and more people to help our cause. So director of development means being out in the community. It means trying to tell our story to everybody, because there are so many stories throughout our organization, people we've helped, people that have helped us. I want to be able to tell that story to everyone, and this is a great venue to do it.
Well, we appreciate you coming in here because it's the 40th anniversary, too.
It is.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the history of Habitat for Humanity, John.
Sure. Well, it started in Alabama. Everybody knows that Jimmy Carter has a very large history. He's the one that really made it a household name. He did not start Habitat in any way. This company in Wisconsin was the first one, started in 1984. And we are currently working on our 87th house that is in Lake Delton. Last year, we built two houses in Reedsburg. So the history, it goes back. It's a great question. So, yeah, 1984, I don't know a whole lot about that. Our affiliate has been, since then,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of dying here.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to live this one down.
Well, you mentioned, and that was the first thing I thought of when we talked about booking the show, Habitat for Humanity. I thought of former President Jimmy Carter because he was very visible on a lot of the work sites.
Yeah, well, he does a ton of work. He volunteers, and he kind of makes it very much a household name. A lot of people know who we are. A lot of people know the words Habitat for Humanity, that we build houses. And that we build houses for people in need. But we also repair houses as well. So we have a very big program where we help mostly veterans, mostly elderly, disabled, people that don't have a lot of money, people that really need help in their homes to stay safe, to remain in their homes. We are a certified aging-in-place contractor. And that is the main goal of the repair program, is to keep people in their homes safely. A lot of that involves handicap bars in mm-hmm. your bathroom. Wisconsin is actually the number one state in the country for slips, trips, and falls.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of our repair work involves that. We do ramps for wheelchairs, but we also make these staircases that are friendly for walkers. So we don't always have the room in someone's garage, say, to build a ramp. But these walker staircases allow people to kind of step up into their homes safely. So we also do a lot of handrails to keep people in their homes, to keep them, because it's so expensive to try to put people into a home, say, like into some kind of assisted living. Mm-hmm. And people generally don't want to do that. They want to stay home. It makes them feel happy and secure, safe. They love having their family come home for the holidays and whatnot. So this is our goal with the repair program. And also, of course, building these homes throughout the area.
How are the homes funded? Is it strictly through monetary donations?
So there are monetary donations. We also have, there are some grants available. There's also 25 or so national companies that donate certain things, plumbing fixtures, furnaces, that type of thing. Sometimes we get other companies to come help us work actually installing trusses, putting up walls, doing that kind of thing. But we are basically needing of those funds to buy our materials and to pay our people to build these things and to lead these groups that come to help us. So largely funded by us, and the repair program itself is largely funded by money that we generate, basically what you may say generosity from the community.
Now, we talked about you being in Baraboo, but you serve a large part of the WRCO listening area, don't you?
We do. We do. We have Columbia and Sauk County, but we also have Iowa, Grant, and Richland County are part of our service area that we have not only been collecting donations from, but also doing repair work and building homes.
You've done some repair work right in our backyard here,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, several repairs have been done in Richland County and Lone Rock, but also in this city, yeah.
So if someone is listening and they're thinking about, you know, themselves or someone else, do they have to have an income requirement, or how does it work to qualify?
There are income requirements. Generally speaking, almost everybody qualifies to some degree.
Okay.
There's actually a sliding scale. So if you, let's say that you need a repair in your home and you make this much money, generally people are on a fixed income that we are servicing. So we need to verify their income, but it's also generally people pay about 10% of the cost of the supplies, and then the labor is free that we are paying for.
Yeah, sure.
you might say. So there are income requirements, and all that information is on our website, but honestly the best way to do it is to call. And if you call our office, we hear stories from people every day that need our help, and we do our best. We say no to no one, you might say. We try to help everybody that calls.
So a lot of times it's for home repairs, it could be just a little bit of anything then, right?
Yes. It's called what critical home repairs. We're not going to come to your house and build you a nice three-season porch.
No. Okay.
Sorry,
that's
Bill.
Too bad.
Can't do it. I mean, that would be great. We do get those calls too. But critical home repairs are mostly involve people that are living in very unsafe environments. People, you'd go into a home, you'd look up and you'd see the sky. And they've been living like this for a while. There are so many people in our area that are currently living like this. You wouldn't know it. You'd go down the street and you'd see somebody, you know, you know people that are living like this that are, and there's a lot involved, you know, in those things. So the critical home repairs are stairs that are falling apart that are very dangerous, flooring that you could potentially put your foot through, things that are corroding. You know, people have gas stoves and stuff like that. So sometimes we go into a home for one reason, and then we leave helping in many ways. So these are critical repairs that keep people in their homes safely. We see a lot of showers that are unsanitary that need to be fixed. That, you know, you can go into a home and you can smell certain mold or stuff like that. We're not going in and we're not making people's homes nicer. We're trying to keep them alive.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to save people's lives, which I feel like we do every day.
Anybody that's ever done a remodel project, especially of an older home, knows that it's kind of a domino effect. You know, it's like, I'm just going to do this. Mm-hmm. You tear out a wall or you tear out a floor, all of a sudden, uh-oh, I need to do. So I'm sure you find that sometimes, too, once you get into the home, that there's more than meets the eye.
Absolutely. You really never know. And that is part of the problem. It makes it hard. I used to do some of this work myself, and it's very difficult. You never know. And then once you open up a wall, you look at a 2x4, and you see rot, and then the project becomes bigger, and usually bigger than the budget that was proposed. But we cannot leave that home without it being fixed.
So what happens in that case, John? You kind of change the estimate, and
sure,
kinda,
sure. Yeah. We change the estimate. Generally speaking, our repairs are under $5,000.
Okay.
So we're not doing huge projects. At that point, generally we start to involve the community. So we start making phone calls. It's like, hey, this is way bigger than our scope. We need help. This is the story. This is what's going on. We need your help. We need people, because this needs to get done right away. We need people, we need funds, and we need materials. Generally speaking, this is the kind of thing almost everybody in the community has some kind of experience doing. everybody's a little bit of a commuter. If you own a home, you kind of have to be. You know, everybody's put one shingle on their roof because it was leaking. So it's nice. We actually have a large pool of people, but we're looking to grow that pool right now. And especially with the 40th anniversary, we are hoping to bring more and more people into the fold. We're based out of Baraboo. So we are looking for people to help us fix homes in Grant County. It's a long drive for us. And we're paying our crew to go way down there. So we are looking for people in this area to really help us, especially with the home repair program.
So do you have a foreman that goes in and then you look for volunteers around that
yes.
person? Or how does it work, John?
Yes. Our construction manager, Roy, generally does all of the assessments. He does most of the assessments, not only of the homes, but also the financial aspect of it. So once that determination is made, we kind of get a schedule. And then we figure out what are our resources. Because sometimes we are literally just waiting for more resources so that we can do the project. Sometimes people wait a while, and we're really doing everything we can to reduce that time. But that's really where we need all your listeners to help us.
With COVID, did that kind of slow things down a little bit in terms of working and workers and everything else?
Yes and no. I think that we went through COVID okay. The construction continued. The homes were continued. You know, there were some protocols that we were following. We did lose some volunteers because some of our volunteers tend to be people who are retired. And they're slightly, you know, very afraid of their own health, so they couldn't really help all the time. It was a lot more controlled. The restores were able to remain open. We were closed for 7 weeks, and then we were right back at work with new protocols. Mm-hmm. So we did lose some of our volunteer base throughout that, and this year is all about trying to bring them back and bring more people into the fold.
Sure. You have a special event going on, 40 for 40 Volunteer Challenge. Tell us about that.
Okay. So this is a new program. This is our 40 for 40 Volunteer Challenge. We are hoping to bring more volunteers into the fold. We are challenging people to do 40 hours of service for our 40 years of service that we've given our community. This involves either at the stores, working on the build site, working in our office, working at home. There are things that people can do at home that can help us throughout the community, but also in our repair program. We are offering a t-shirt, which is pretty sweet. We have a big board. We're going to be putting all of our 40 for 40 challenge champions. We are also offering some door prizes. We are offering a swag bag that we are going to be given. It's going to have some tools in it and some Habitat for Humanity stuff. We are also going to be, everybody who completes the challenge is going to be put into a drawing. Five people who complete the challenge will be invited to our gala for free to attend in, and that will be in November.
Okay. Well, that's a good deal.
Not a bad deal.
No. To get people motivated and
yeah,
get them going.
Well, you know, honestly, the big part of it is we are offering a place for people to hang out, to meet people. You want to talk about COVID, you want to talk about meeting people, it's gotten very hard. People are very stuck in their homes. They're afraid to meet. It's gotten very caustic environment all around us. And this is a great way to meet new people, to meet your potential, who knows, to meet friends and make more of a community environment. And then you will feel more comfortable being out in the world. This is our goal. My goal is to have a large group of people that are friends. We are going to be having a Valentine's Day, singles, couples, volunteer day at the restores. We're hoping that that's going to be kind of a fun thing. Sometimes romance is the reason that people do do volunteer. You know, why do people volunteer? There's a lot of reasons.
Sounds like a reality show there,
it,
maybe.
It kind of is. I kind of want to, and we're going to be kind of, not broadcasting at all, but really encouraging others to join us.
You have lots of events going on. I think you have blood drives as well, don't you?
That's not really our...
Isn't that?
No.
Oh,
no,
I thought I saw that listed somewhere.
No.
Okay.
Not us, it's still a great cause. I mean, of course you should give blood. That's not really really our thing.
I presume everyone is different because you've got locations all over the country.
We do. Yeah. Oh, yes. There, you know, and each affiliate's different. Each affiliate is trying to do the best for the community that's in. Sometimes we are filling voids. So if there was a need for that, you know, other organizations do that. In March, we are actually going to be having a event in Reedsburg at the Reedsburg Library that involves, learning skills to help with the bills.
Ah.
We're going to be teaching people some real hands-on things that they can save money at home. Some of it does involve the slips, trips, and falls. Part of it, how do you make your home safe? Some of it is about energy efficiency, caulking windows, doing things that will make you'll save money on your electricity bill and your gas bill, and also making a plan about home maintenance. A lot of people don't even know what their furnace filter looks like, and these are ways to keep it efficient, keep it long, you know, keep your furnace okay for as long as you can.
Well, that's going to be a great thing. So you're not actually going in the home and doing it for people. You're teaching them. You're giving them the skills so they can go forward. And
absolutely. And hopefully teaching some people to help us in the future. So we're creating volunteers, creating more skills. Teaching people more skills in the community only helps everybody, but it also could potentially help us when we go after you and say, hey, can you give us a hand? So-and-so needs this done. We are currently, our repair crew is over here. Could you help us out? And then they're like, okay, yeah, sure, I did that.
You know, somebody like me, I can't even fix a sandwich, you know, but you, there's got to be a job that I could do. I mean, there's probably everybody has a little
bit of
maybe a driver or whatever the case might be.
Well, drivers, haulers. I mean, sometimes you're on a job site, you just need somebody to hold a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. For safety's sake, just having more people, more eyeballs, and the more people, it's just more fun.
Yeah, I'm guessing it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned making friends and things like that.
Yeah.
Makes the work go faster,
seriously,
too.
Seriously, I mean, some of the people that we've helped out are seriously friends that we see from time to time. Some people come in the office, people come to the restore. It's like, hey, it's like, yeah, remember me? Like, of course, it really is. The goal is to create community, to create fun for everybody.
Any more information on the seminar you mentioned coming up in Reedsburg? Do you have a date for that?
It is March 23rd.
March 23rd, okay.
Yep. It's from 10 to 2, I believe, and it's going to be at the Reedsburg Library. But we are going to be touring this program in Portage, Baraboo, and Dodgeville. Fingers crossed, none of it is set up currently, but I believe it will happen.
Okay.
And then we'll get you all that information for your community calendar. But the event in Dodgeville would be the closest one to you.
Tell me a little bit more about the restores.
Sure.
If someone would like to donate, what are some of the items typically that you can donate?
Well, Phil.
A little bit of everything?
A little bit of everything. If you go to the restore in Madison, it will look nothing like our restore in Baraboo and Portage. A lot of restores typically take building materials. You're going to go in, you're going to see windows, you're going to see doors, which we do take. You're going to see toilets. You're going to see, but in our place, you will see books. You will see movies. You will see VHS tapes. A lot of people don't think that their old VHS tapes are worth anything, and we sell just about every single one that comes to the store. We sell home decor, little tchotchkes. We sell all kinds of decor. I don't know. Like we sell paint, we sell hardware. It's really a great place to save money. So the closer you are to a big box store, the more likely your restore is going to succeed. We're right down the road from Menards. We're right down the road from the DeWitt Center. A lot of people come to the store to see what they're looking for. And we have two great staffs that are working those stores right now. and they are trying to keep it as organized as possible. That's where we need help. We need more volunteers at both of those stores. Basically, what happens is people bring their donations in. We have to go out, inspect the donations, bring them into the store. And then we have to clean them. And then we have to put them out on the floor and make sure they're tagged. Every single object that comes to our thrift stores is handled 7 times. From the time it comes to the back of the store to the time it goes out the door, which is just a lot of work. We have a decent amount of volunteers at our Baraboo store. Our Portage store definitely needs more volunteers. The great thing about the Restore is not everything's heavy. We do have a lot of heavy things.
I'm sure.
I worked there for 9 years. I lifted so many heavy things. I felt like I was, I didn't need a gym.
That was your workout.
That was my workout. I would get about 30,000 steps in just about every day going through that store. So the nice thing about the Restores is all the money that is generated from those stores, we pay our bills, we pay our employees, which is, a significant amount of money. It's actually a decent job as far as area jobs go. Working at the Restore is a decent job. We actually do offer benefits. We offer paid time off. We don't work nights. We don't work on Sundays. It's actually a decent job. I didn't mind it at all. I actually really enjoyed working there.
Sure there was never a dull moment. It seemed like there'd be something different every day.
There's never a dull moment. The customers definitely keep you on your toes.
I bet.
And they're just as educated as we are about all the stuff. So it is kind of fun, people come in and, everybody's had a garage sale and they think that that is what the store is. And really, really it's not. We are trying to maximize the profits for the affiliate. We are trying to get as much money as possible for the builds, for building those homes, and for the repair program. But the really great thing about all the money generated is we can use it any way we want. Sometimes we will get a grant from an organization, say, and those funds are restricted. So we can only use them for certain things. All the money generated from the Restore, we can use for whatever we need at the moment, whether that be buying trusses for the build or going to the store to buy something we need for a repair. And again, just like I was saying before about you never know what we're going to need. It's nice having money that we can use however we need it at that moment. And the great part too about this whole organization is that all this money is staying local. Mm-hmm. And that is so people can feel really good about the money they spend or give to us. All this money is staying in this area.
Construction materials have really gone up,
yes,
too. That's
every
dollar you take in at the Restore is
and inflation has not been even. So the price of 2x4s when I come was 2021 was really bad. Now it's come down. But the price of copper has gone way up. So when you start talking about plumbing, it's scary how much money we have to raise to build a home right now or to repair a home. And we are up against it, you might say, just like everybody, like everybody is. So we're all kind of in the same place. But we like to think that we're doing a lot of good.
Well, I think about Habitat for Humanity and 40 years, there have been a lot of ups and downs. Interest rates were really high when
yes.
you started and things like that. So you really have been survivors.
We definitely have been survivors. And that's thanks to our executive director. She's kind of a magician up there working all that. Morgan, she has been amazing. Amazing to me, too. And Eleanor Chicoine was our executive director before her. And she's the one that hired me. And these people are really very smart people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they have to be to kind
they
of.
They have to be.
It's
yeah.
like a puzzle, isn't it, to try
yes.
to put everything into place.
It is. And it's also not just dollars and cents. It's also big hearts.
Yeah.
They have big hearts and they really care. And everybody who comes to us for help will receive it.
We got more to talk about with John here about Habitat for Humanity. The morning show continues in just a moment.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Save extra now during the half price sale of Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center and Viroqua. Buy any item at the regular or sale price and get a second item of equal value or less for half price.
Yes, you heard it. Half price.
Special orders and layaways not included. The half price sale in Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, Richland Center and Viroqua. But hurry, this fantastic sale ends this Sunday.
Choose Mr. G's.
The Family Thrift Shop will be closed for the completion of a remodeling project from December 24th until Thursday, January 4th. Donations will be accepted when the shop is open Wednesday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturdays from 10 until 4. Come and shop locally where the profits from your donations and purchases stay in our community and help support other nonprofit organizations. Thank you for all of your support. From the Family Thrift Shop, located at 120 South Main Street in downtown Richland Center.
My therapist had told me that I needed to go to AA meetings, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. That was not what I wanted to grow up and be. I didn't want to go to AA, but I did, and it wasn't what I expected by any means. It was friendly. I could feel it. I mean, I could feel the happiness. It's really great.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
If a baby is giggling in the back seat, they're probably happy. If a baby is crying in the back seat, they're probably hungry. But if a baby is sleeping in the back seat, will you remember they're even there? When you're distracted, stressed, or not usually the one who drives them, the chances of forgetting them in the back seat are much higher. It can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get in the habit of checking the back seat when you leave. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO. John Peruzzi, Habitat for Humanity, is here.
Nice, thanks,
Phil. Nice to have you along, talking about 40 years of Habitat for Humanity and all the good that has been occurring. You're located in Baraboo, but here's a trivia question for you. Where was the first Habitat for Humanity home built in Wisconsin?
The very first one is actually right here, Phil.
In Richland
Center.
Right here
in Richland Center, yes. There's actually 9 houses right here in Richland Center, but the very first one built in Wisconsin is here.
Hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that I'm here doing this interview right now.
Yeah. We'll have to stock that for our year-end trivia game there, maybe.
Yes.
So you have lots of events that go on during the year. I know you recently, you had a 9/11 event last year that you celebrated.
Yes, we did. it was quite moving. We were in the Restore parking lot in Portage. The fire department did come with the ladder truck and had the huge flag. We had some, Joan Baldwig was there. We had some local politicians that came and said some words, but honestly, it was a rainy morning that started about 4 a.m. for me, and it felt very, very moving, very poignant. It was beautiful, I guess you might say. It was an event where veterans came, and we were packing up gift boxes for firefighters, for police, ambulance. We were trying to make sure that every rural local department in our areas were recognized. Some of these, you might say it'd be easy to take it to the Baraboo Police and the Portage Police, but we did go to the coroner's office. There are people that are helping at many levels throughout and all the first responders in our area, and we tried to make sure that all of them were recognized and appreciated. But they were, all those packages were packaged by veterans. It was 9/11 is about service. It's a day of service.
Habitat for Humanity has helped out. A lot of natural disasters have occurred in that 40 years, too. You probably have helped rebuild and restart a lot of
places.
Yes.
Nationally, absolutely. One of the main ones that we did a lot of work once the floods in Rock Springs was 5 years ago or 6 years ago. We did some work there where we were gutting some of the buildings with the flood damage. We also, the restores donated $5,000 worth of gift cards so that people could, you know, which is really not much, but it was something, you know, there's only a certain amount that we can do. We do have some kind of disaster relief, but some of that is above our abilities. We don't have a lot of equipment. There's other companies throughout the area that we're doing that kind of work, but we were definitely helping organize these things, identifying people. We get the phone calls. That's part of what we do, is matching the need with the resources. So we didn't do a whole heck of a lot with the actual work, but we did do a lot of connecting work for that.
You mentioned you have a new home project going on, Lake Delton, I think.
Yes,
you said.
Lake Delton is the current home build. Yeah, they are doing very well. I believe the drywall is up, and the roof is on, the siding's on. I think the driveway is poured. They're doing very well.
So how does that work? Is that somebody that's putting that home up, or do you put the home up and then somebody buys it later? Or?
No, we have a family selection committee.
Okay.
That decides who is to receive that home. So before the home is even started, then we know who's going to be moving into there, because there's a lot of commitment when it comes to us building you a home. The family needs to do 500 hours of what we call sweat equity. So they need to help the actual building of the home. So they need to be able to do that. We had over 80 applicants for the one home. So the need is great. So it is hard for us to just, you know, if we could do more, we would do more, but we would need more resources.
So there's a selection committee that goes through all of those applicants.
It goes through all the applications.
Boy, that's hard work.
It is a lot of work, and it's emotional.
Yeah.
It's emotional work to, like, hear their stories, because everybody, just about everybody deserves it. It's not like, you know, there's people that are trying to get something for free. Almost everybody is in a situation where they need help. But yeah, the Sandovals are homeowners, future homeowners. They're very excited.
I bet.
They are going to be moving in April, hopefully. Possibly May, possibly March. We'll see how it goes. We had a lot more volunteers, it'd be done sooner.
Oh, boy. As construction projects go, though, it's also, you know, in Wisconsin, too,
yes,
you have to go along with the weather.
Yes.
So then when you're done in Lake Delton, then do you pack up and you move to another location to start?
That's the idea.
Okay.
That's the idea. We do, right now, we're not sure exactly. We have two locations that we're looking at as far as our next build is concerned. But we'll see how it all turns out. It really depends on the family, who gets chosen. So that would determine where we would build next.
You do a lot for veterans.
We do.
I'm guessing some of those builds are for veterans' families, right?
Some of them. A lot of our repair work is done for veterans. Plus, we have a lot of connections through veterans programs and a lot of our volunteers as well. When we ask for help, a lot of veteran services do show up. So that is a big part of our volunteer base as far as the repair program, because veterans take care of each other. And that's an important part of serving.
You mentioned looking at a possible project coming up in Grant County, too. And if somebody is interested, they'd like to volunteer, be a part mm-hmm. of it. What's the best mm-hmm. way for them to proceed?
Well, the best way is to call the office.
Okay.
That's the best way to get involved as far as just getting information about it. There are people in need in Grant County that it's more of with the repair program.
Mm-hmm.
So helping out with that, if you have skills, if you have a construction company, if you have a company that sells materials and want to help too, like by selling it to us for cost, say, or maybe less than cost, or maybe nothing, that's one way to help. There's just a lot of ways, you know, and sometimes we will have a group of people who are going to do a job and they need lunch. So you can help at home. If you wanted to make lunch for a Habitat crew, that would be amazing.
Oh, okay.
You want to make cookies? They love cookies.
I bet they do. But as far as donations, too, you know, people have maybe they've had their own reconstruction thing.
Yep.
These windows don't fit. This door, you know, instead of taking it back, great place to donate.
We get a lot of brand new windows that were ordered wrong, shipped wrong. They come into the store, and we get decent money for all that stuff. It is a little bit of a hike from Grant County to get it up to us, but, you know, it could be worth it. We don't have a pickup program at this time. We simply don't have the staff or the equipment or the time. You know, again, another way volunteers can help. Maybe you have a nice trailer and somebody wants to donate up here. Maybe you're willing to do that. Like, I can do that. I can put all this stuff in a trailer and bring it up to the store. And that's another way that someone can help.
The Restore Store, you mentioned Baraboo and Portage, and we just don't have enough population here to have one of those stores, I understand.
Right, right. Yeah, there's no Restore down here. The closest one you got is Madison. But again, they don't take what we take. We take a lot more diversified donations.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be helping out people that are helping you. So our repair program is down in your area. So it'd be nice if you brought it to us, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, that's another way you donate and volunteer and everything.
Yeah, so. We actually sell a lot of holiday decor. We actually did very well at it this year, and sometimes people have extra, and they just want to stop in. And then a lot of our donors become shoppers. And they see things up here they'd never seen before. They like remember something from when they were young, and they'll see it in our store. We sell a lot of that kind of stuff, a lot of vintage, a lot of antiques, that the kids don't want it. I don't know if you're experiencing this yet.
Sure.
But it's just like the story is the same. The kids don't really want this stuff, and people's houses are full of stuff, and they bring us entire household full of their old knickknacks and whatnot.
Better than throwing it in the dumpster. You know,
absolutely.
Mean, sometimes kids are just, just get rid of it. But
there's a large ecological component to the store.
Sure.
We are saving thousands and thousands of pounds of what would go into a landfill. There are statistics on that. I don't have that right in front of me. I don't like to talk numbers so much because it feels great knowing that when people bring their stuff, it will have a second life. And a lot of the furniture we sell is very old, and it was built with real wood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this particle board stuff that you'd find at your big box stores right now, which makes it great. It actually, these things live for a very, very long time, and that's what our customers are buying.
The Restore stores at Baraboo and in Portage, are they easy to get to?
Very easy. Baraboo is right on South Boulevard. When you're going into town, it's actually very easy to get off. The Portage store is on the south side of town, but they both have highway access, basically. They're pretty easy to get to. But Portage is on the south side of town. It's not as ideal location, but it is what we can afford.
Mm-hmm. Right. And doing a lot of good for the community.
Yes.
Habitat for Humanity, our subject on the morning show, will return with more in a moment.
virtual meetings, getting the kids ready for school, and off to after-school practice, life keeps us busy. But it's important to find time for the moments that really matter. That's why Gunderson-Boscobel Area Hospital and Clinics is offering expanded local and virtual care options, so you'll do a little less waiting and a little more playing. A little less driving and a little more living.
The movie's about to start.
Gunderson Basketball, we're bringing love plus medicine to you.
John Peruzzi is here from Habitat for Humanity, first-time guest to our morning show studios, and we're getting into 2024 a little deeper. I know Earth Day means a lot to Habitat for Humanity's organizations. What are some things that you do to commemorate that day?
Well, last year, we actually had an event at the Al Ringling Theater in Baraboo where we showed the cartoon The Lorax, which was well attended. It was a free event for the community. It definitely has an Earth Day tilt to the movie about saving trees. We also had an Arbor Day event where we planted some trees in town. It was also a National Youth Day of Service. So in both of our stores, we had some younger volunteers come to the store. We planted flowers. We cleaned some stuff. We bought some donations out. It was really fun. Nice day. This year, we're going to be having a similar event, only slightly bigger. Our Vista, Ryan, is going to be planting some trees throughout the community as well. He actually got a grant to help us out. So we're going to be doing that. Part of the event is going to be bigger. Hopefully, we're going to be doing the same thing at the Al. And we're going to be there's going to be a lot more volunteer activities at the stores for kids and adults alike. Earth Day is huge. This is part of our mission, is keeping things out of the dumpster and giving things second life. We love it. And on a personal note, I have done certain things. I was a geology major back in the day when I first went to school. Saving the planet has always been something that I've been interested in on a personal level.
Mm-hmm. So that goes back to why you took the job way back when, I'm sure, too.
Very much so. Very much so. It's been a very fulfilling job. I love getting up in the morning, going to work. I feel really, I love it. I feel great. I feel like I'm actually making a difference. I feel like I can help Habitat bring more people in. I feel like I can do this for the entire community. And I'm really excited about going to work every day. I feel like it's only growing and getting better. And now I'm here.
Yeah. Well, everybody's always looking for workers. I'm guessing there are some job opportunities with the company.
In some ways, we're always hiring. Uh-huh. We're always looking for good candidates. We're always looking for volunteers. We're always taking resumes. This is right now in Portage, we are currently hiring. In Baraboo, we're always looking for people to help us out. You know, it's a part-time job. We're looking for personalities. It's not an easy place to work. You really have to be have a personality and be fun. And we're looking for chipper people because, honestly, some of our customers, they come in, they're depressed. You know, we try to have fun music at the stores. We try to make it a fun environment. We're not trying to be your friend, but we try to be, breath of fresh air, a place that you can come to and I don't feel so depressed.
I know that in terms of volunteering, lots of times, especially young people, if they're applying for scholarships and things like that, those volunteer hours look really good.
They do.
On that resume, don't they?
They do. We actually do get a lot of young volunteers. And they have done a lot of good for us in the past. Some schools require it now. Not all of them. I wish they would all require it. When I was in high school, I did a lot of community service. This really adds to your resume, but it also adds to you. It also makes you a different person because you're meeting people from other backgrounds. You're meeting people who are different from you. And it only makes you a more well-rounded person.
So there are some opportunities coming up for some fixer-uppers this year and things like that. If somebody's listening, they've got a house or some, maybe a friend that has a house that maybe needs painting or needs some upkeep, how should they go about, how should they proceed?
Well, the best place to go is our website, which is www.hfhwisconsinriver.org. The best way to do is Google. If you Google Habitat for Humanity and Baraboo Reportage, you will find us. Or call the office, and that's 608-356-0332. And if you press 3, you will get the office. Either ask for me or ask for Roy or anybody in the office, and they will help you. For the volunteer challenge, we're asking people to call me, which is 608-370-4985.
If someone has, let's say, a neighbor or acquaintance or, maybe, can you call on their behalf?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That happens all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. That happens all the time. People have relatives, friends, they need, who want to do this. They're just helping out. And that's another way you can help, honestly. That's another way that you can help without even them knowing. You can go to them and say, hey, maybe you should think about, getting rid of some of this stuff. Because, people are people.
Mm-hmm. Right. somebody might just not want to call, make the call. Maybe they don't want to bother somebody.
Right. They don't want to bother, or they don't feel like their stuff is good enough, or they don't think that people, they can help. And at this point, there isn't a single person that I meet that can't help our organization in some way, shape, or form. There are ways to help at home, help in the store, help at the repair site, help at the build site. We were stuffing envelopes for a week and a half, a couple weeks ago for our holiday appeal, and anybody can do that. All we got to, and then it's just kind of a nice group of people sitting around a table, just chit chatting while we're while we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So all skill levels, it sounds like.
All skill levels, everybody can help.
And just because we're talking about it in the Baraboo and Portage area, you do serve the Richland County and WRCA listening area.
Yes,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do a lot of repair work down here in all three counties. We just had a group of kids from University of Platteville. From Farmers Fraternity come up. They were hanging drywall at the house. It was amazing. There were 12 of them. They were big dudes. They really helped. They really were. It was amazing. It was like our construction manager was very happy with their help.
I bet when they walked in, the construction managers thought, amen.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Absolutely. But there were also some of them were returning, so he actually remembered several of them. So it was nice. It was a great day.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I'm guessing there are some rewarding stories, John.
There really are. Yeah. There really are. People come in, and then people tell stories from 15 years ago or 20 years ago. It's like, oh, I helped on a Habitat house. Or, oh, my uncle, you helped us out many years ago. Well, how can I help? It's weird because I've been with the company for over 10 years now. So people tell me stories of things that happened when I was 5 years old, which is amazing. It's just really amazing. So this company is amazing. I love working here. I can't wait for people listening to give me a call because I'm ready.
You'd love to hear from them.
I'd love to hear from them.
It's been a real pleasure to meet you, John.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you too, Phil.
Thanks for coming over here from Baraboo and joining us.
Thank you.
We'll have you back. Let us know the progress in 2024.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, celebrating 40 years. Habitat for Humanity. And again, you can see hfhwisconsinriver.org to be a part of their 40th anniversary celebration. John Peruzzi, our guest from Habitat for Humanity on today's morning show.
Nominations are still being sought for this year's Making a Difference Awards. The annual awards, which are sponsored by Richland Rejuvenates and WRCO, will be presented at the annual banquet held this year Sunday, January 28th at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Nominations are being sought for Business of the Year, Outstanding Organization, Civic Leadership, Nonprofit of the Year, Best Face Forward, Community Stewardship, the Emergency Responder Award, Educator of the Year, Medical Hero, Up and Coming Youth Award as well. Nominations are easy. You may submit a nomination by going to southwestpartners.org and clicking on the Making a Difference link and nominate. You may also mail the information to Making a Difference in care of Southwest Partners Incorporated, P.O. Box 651, Richland Center, or email your nomination to swp.acctg@gmail.com. You can also drop off information at 1313 West Seminary Street in Richland Center. Nominations are due January 5th at 5 p.m. Now is the time to nominate the people who are making a difference in Richland County.
Just like no two people are the same, no 2 days are the same. We start them and end them at different times. And in between, we all do very different things. Yet there is something we all have in common. Knowing your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative is here to power every moment of every day. Because no matter when it starts, we never stop.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy.